All right, let's pray. Father, thank you in Jesus' name for your grace. Thank you for what you are accomplishing in our midst. We ask and we receive clarity into this week's discussion. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so this week we're going to be looking at why discipleship. Why discipleship? Why? You know, it's an interesting thing to discuss, and I'm going to take my time to, you know, explain why. I remember speaking to a senior man of God, and then he kept on telling me, he said, please teach the people why they do what they do. You know, because today when you ask somebody, why do you pray? They might not be able to tell you why they pray. My mother said I should pray. Okay, why do you pray? You know, and then they're left confused. Why do you read your Bible? Or why should you read your Bible? Why? Why discipleship? Why? I mean, so, yeah, you're saying discipleship. What if I choose not to? What then happens? Right? So, there's always a why to everything. Now, if we're able to understand the why, it means that we can truly have understanding into the very essence of what we do. So again this evening, why discipleship? You know, and this three-lettered word, it's quite interesting. And it's with this understanding comes from. Because if you can tell us why, it means you really understand what you're doing or what you're giving yourself to. Why should I choose discipleship and not choose to be a ritualist? Why? Why? So, the expression why will be for what cause or for what reason or sometimes for what purpose. For what's the cause? Why? What's the reason? Or for what purpose? So, I actually agree with the famous Miles Monroe, you know, statement, which is this, that, you know, when purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable, right? So, when we do not know why, then we can say, oh, forget. You know, somebody told me something dangerous and the person was laughing. And in my mind, I was laughing, but I was like, nah, that's really serious. You know, and the person told me, you know, his relation used to pour TCP in his tea. So I was like, Jesus, that's really dangerous, you know? Serious, TCP in tea. And he said for so many years, he had a certain taste of tea, not knowing that that was not the original taste of tea. I've been thinking about it. I was like, thank you for keeping him safe. Right, TCP. Some of you don't know TCP. Serious antiseptic, man. So the antiseptic should wash the tummy. That's what the person is, whatever, saying that. So she didn't know why. Yeah, know why. So when you don't know why, you abuse whatever it is that you have in your hand. You don't know why. You know, you bought hair pomade or hair food. And the guys are mostly the ones that like to do this. Then they start to smear the hair food as pomade. So hair food powder is for the hair. But they are smearing it and they are comfortable. They feel like that one is even more good to use. Yeah. What condition are you likely to get? Doctors, pharmacists, and all of those. Hey, they'll say pastor likes to call and ask questions. What conditions? A lot of hair everywhere. They are hiding. Hair everywhere. They are typing. So, the rest are quiet. What was hair everywhere? Eesh, three different answers. So which one are we going for? Hey, they are now Googling. If people are Googling. Okay. How about males with breast features? You see a male, Papa, he has breasts. It's what? Just before we go to our teachings. Okay. I think they are getting it. So you see that pomade hair food for the hair, and then they are using it for skin and for chest and for stomach everywhere. Complete. Abuse is inevitable. And recently I learned that I was so shy. And I'm sure some of you don't know. I had to ask another person that came around today. I said, come, let me teach you. Did you know that the water closet, the two buttons on the water, I did because I don't want the guys around me to be disgraced. I said that the two buttons, they are not all the same and they don't do the same thing. Yes, I said they don't do the same. Don't ever think that they do the same thing. Because I just read it a couple of days ago and I was so shy. And I said, let me teach you. So the small one is for liquids. So when you urinate into the thing, yes, the small one is for liquids. The larger one is for the solids. So those who used to press the two. I'm teaching you Christ family, so you don't disagree. Those who used to press the two, or those who press the anyone that comes to mind. Just press the two. They press. Random stimulation. Anyone that just comes to mind, you just press that one. It's not like that though. The smaller one. You go and look at your WC. Your WC is good. You see that it's there. So that you don't disgrace yourself. The small one is for when you urinate. The big one is for when you use the solids. So you see, when you don't know, you are. You just say, oh, the two of them are the same. You just go and press the two for your whole life. Ever since you started using WC from primary 1, 2, 3, you've been pressing the two. When you were small, I'm sure you press the one that is easy to press or softer to press. Some way, somehow, you just press. Okay, that's calm down. And sometimes you press the small one, you realize that the thing doesn't go down. It doesn't go because it's the small one. The pressure on that one is low. The liquid's also on that. So you press. You say, ah, the thing is because you press the small one. Just press the big one. And so you see that. When you visit someone's house and you press the small one and it does not go, you see that you can't go out of the place because you press the small, you have to wait for a refill before you can press the big one. Yes, so I'm teaching you, abuse is inevitable. It's inevitable if you don't know what to use what for. Abuse is inevitable. So I agree with, you know, that statement. So the lack of knowledge of, you know, how and why you have what you have, right, puts you at a more, you know, deprived state of not using it maximally. So when you don't know why you have something, it's dangerous. You see, the reasons why people use phones to the point where they're addicted to phones and they can't do anything without their phones. They always have to be on their phones. They always have to, you know, hold their phones. It's because they don't know why the phone is there in the first place. Same as laptops. They don't know why. Same as television sets. They don't know why. Right? You meet somebody and you're trying to say, please, can I share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you? And you know, the gospel tells us of how that God loves you and how that he died for you, was buried and was resurrected, you know, for you, that you will receive eternal life. And the person goes like, you are rather the stupid one. Yeah, because they don't understand why they need to accept Jesus. They don't understand. Why should they live for him? See, you meet somebody, you're trying to say, God wants you full of his spirit. And so one of the very evidential signs of being full of his spirit is that you speak in tongues. And they go like, tongues is not necessary. Can't I pray to God in my language? Again, nobody is saying you can't pray to God in your language. We are saying that tongues has a why you need to speak in it. We're not saying that when you pray in your language, God does not hear you. We are saying that God himself gave us praying in the Holy Ghost or speaking in tongues. And we need to accept it. Because if you don't accept it, what is going to happen is that you're going to be losing out on why he gave what he gave. So in the same way, when God gives us discipleship, you're also going to understand that, okay, God gives us discipleship. And it means that there is a why to discipleship. There's a reason why he gave us discipleship. So understanding the reason why helps you practically walk in what he has asked us to do much better. Because now there is a lot of understanding as to the reason why he gives discipleship as a concept. So not understanding why creates a very big problem. It means that now you can choose what you want when you don't understand why. So we need to pray. I don't want to pray. We need to study. I don't want to study. Evangelism. So you meet some people and they give out very interesting comments. Like, hey, today, do the church still do this evangelism? Me, I thought evangelism has passed though. And evangelism, they say, yet it's in enough one or mutai. See, I'm evangelism. See, I'm shit TV. So it means that the why is not understood. So if we don't understand why, we get to choose what we want, which will eventually help us abuse whatever it is we have been given. We get to decide what we ought to do, at what time. We get to make decisions on what we want, what we like. But Jesus Christ doesn't want us having our own opinions, choosing our own choices, and deciding what we wanted to do or what we want to do. You know, a typical example that Paul, in his writing, states to Timothy is in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. I'm going to show you this. Very important. 1 Timothy 3, 15. Okay, let me get my Bible. 1 Timothy 3:15. So he says that, But if I tarry long. Okay, so let me start from verse 15 and then we'll read into verse 14 and then we'll read into 15. He says, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly." Verse 15, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth." So Paul is telling Timothy, reasons why I have to pick up the scriptures, because it exemplifies one of the best modules of discipleship. You know, Timothy was Paul's disciple. And so Paul is telling Timothy, if I stay long, if I tarry long, there is a way that you may know how you ought to behave thyself. So there's a how. In what way? There's a how. There is a way that we ought to behave. There is a how. There is a manner of life. In this family, we call Christian, in this family of Christ. So he says, how thou oughtest. Now, the word thou oughtest there, it means it behoves. It means something that is right and it's proper. So it means that there is a means that is right and it's proper of how that Timothy has to conduct himself, has to carry himself. You don't just get up and do anything you want to do. And that's how God wants it. Thou oughtest. It's actually like a necessity and a command of duty. So there's a way that the child of God has to And Jesus himself teaches us how. And he gives us how. There's a necessity that is required. A necessity of conduct. A necessity of worship. A necessity of attitude. A necessity of manner. That's how it's supposed to be. So that thou may know. Actually, the word know is a very popular Greek word. It's eido. It means to get knowledge by any fact. You get knowledge by any fact. Or to get skilled at. Or also to have the ability to see and discern. So it's like to ascertain what must be done rightly. So that thou may know. But you see, you cannot know if you have not been taught. You cannot know if you have not been taught. You cannot know if you have not been taught. You cannot know if you have not been trained. You cannot know if you have not had explanations to why something is what. You can't know. The pastor, I can't know. Okay, why didn't you know how to get born again on your own? Got up one morning in the morning. Got up one morning, and then you just said, "Yes, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so now, unborn again, I born myself again in the name of the Father. And of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So now, Pascal, you are born again, and this is what it means to be born again. It means you have believed in Jesus. You are talking to yourself one early in the morning. You make up your mind that you are going to be born again. Yes, and then you are now born again. And then you now say, okay, so it is time, right, and proper that after being born again, you get yourself filled in the Holy Ghost. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. Let's see 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay, let's see how Acts chapter 2, 1 to 4, they got filled in the Holy Ghost. Let's examine getting filled in the Holy Ghost. Let's see Mark chapter 16. Let's go back. Okay, now, speaking in tongues. Okay, now, Pascal, after you have been born again, and you can now speak in tongues, it's time to take church seriously. And so, the church of God is the ground and pillar of truth. Oh, how beautiful it is when brethren gather together in unity. It's like a precious, wow, I feel the anointing. I see in the realm of the spirit. The Lord is saying, I should tell you that, okay, now start going to church every Sunday. You did that for yourself. You in your own self, you got up one morning, you preached to yourself, you got yourself filled in the Holy Ghost, you started taking church seriously, you started serving God seriously. You see, it's not true. That's how you deceive yourself when you think spiritual growth and knowing God is based on you. It's very wrong. It's actually, I'm telling you, it's actually a way the devil can get you out of what God is doing. It's when you I can do it alone. Right? That's very wrong. So there is a way. There is a way. And that way, God deems it fit to have it done in that way. You see, let's not have our own explanations. Let's not have explanations. Let's do it the way God wants it done. Let's do it the way God wants it done. So we're still on actually why discipleship, right? So you get to realize that you may know how it means to get knowledge of any fact and to have skill acquired at performing a set task, to be able to see, to discern, to ascertain, to know how. But remember, Paul is not just writing to Timothy that, Timothy, you ought to know how thou oughtest to know. He had already written a first letter to Timothy. He had already traveled through provinces of Macedonia to Ephesus, areas and lands around Ephesus with Timothy. In fact, Timothy was much younger when he met him. So it was not like he was writing the letter to him and said, you now have to go and find out what has been taught you. No, you're not going to find it out. You have been taught, because he submitted himself to discipleship. So you have been taught now. So continue in those things. So the letters are most like supplementary. The letters are supplementary. I'm not sure that, you know, there are a lot of things that Timothy did not know, and that's why Paul had to write out these letters. I believe that the letters were supplementary of things that he had already been trained in, or things that he might have heard Paul passingly say. Let's say Timothy was with Paul when he went to the church in Corinth. I'm sure he would have seen how Paul handled the leadership in Corinth. I'm sure he would have seen how Paul went about activities. I'm sure he would have seen how Paul prayed. I'm sure he would have seen how Paul loved the saints. I'm sure he would have seen how Paul conducted himself in other provinces, in other churches. I'm sure he would have seen all these things. So by virtue of seeing, he was being trained into what Christ wanted him to be trained into, that thou mayest know, to be skilled at, to get knowledge. Let me show you a typical example of that thou mayest know. Acts chapter 8. We're going to see, you know, the story, quick story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. No. There's a way you ought to be taught so that you can know. Today people come and say, oh, you know, your church is very, it's not youthful crowd. Charlie, we, when our former church, we did wear JC Sunday and Suya and all of those. No, that's bringing what we have outside into. We are supposed to teach you what you have to know. You have to know what we are teaching you. You don't have to bring what you have seen outside into the church. We have to teach you. Say, hey, pastor, your church, you don't sing the bishop praise. I was waiting for the priest after the lady just finished singing the song. I was waiting, hey, pastor, the guy was going to really, how thou oughtest. We say, in discipleship, be submitted to your teacher. Learn from him. Teach other people. Say, no. We want it some other way around. No, there's a way. So, let me show you. Even when it comes to getting born again, I believe that, you know, the writer of Acts pens this down so that it can declare in our hearts how important it is. Right? You know that I'm going to show you two stories, actually, on knowing. First off, paints the story of salvation, and then eventually discipleship, and then we'll be out of here. And they're all in the book of Acts. So let's see our first one in Acts chapter 8. And Saul, okay, we'll skip up to somewhere around We'll start reading from about 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south. Now this is an angel, right? The Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Verse 27, And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, and the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. This was a great man, had money, had great authority, in charge of many treasures, under the queen of Ethiopians. Yeah. A eunuch. You know, the eunuchs, they were fruitless. Yes, they were fruitless, and they were always in the palace. Yes, they were castrated, so they were the ones that bathed the queens, because they could not produce, they could not feel anything, because they were castrated. When they castrated, you know, they send him to the palace, so they are in charge of, you know, the queens, and they take care of them. They take care of him. So this was somebody who had been in the palace of a queen, to an extent that he had great authority also in that area, and he had charge of all her treasures. So he came into a city, and then he was returning and sitting in his chariot. In verse 28, he read Isaiah the prophet. Then in verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? Somebody should drop the NLT version, and another person should drop the NIV version, and another person should drop the TPT version. So, Philip has been sent by God himself, not, you know, through the instruction of an angel. Now, come to think of it, don't you think that the angel could have just spoken to the Ethiopian eunuch? That could have been easy. That could have been easy. The angel could have spoken to the Ethiopian eunuch. But the angel still decides to go through a man to get to the Ethiopian eunuch who was reading the prophet Isaiah and had to explain the gospel to him. Some of you are saying that we can know God by ourselves. You're very interesting, you know. And you break God's method. It's not about what you think. It's about what God wants and how he wants it done. So a whole angel is appearing to Philip and telling him that, see, go near or go down Jerusalem unto a place that's called Gaza, which is a desert. There is a man that is going to be reading something he does not understand. I met somebody who said, I see you explain the word of God. Please, can you teach? I just told the person, I said, you know what? Just follow me. Just follow me. Keep hearing me. And continually hear me. You have understanding. I can't teach you all I know in a sitting. If you met me even for 6 hours, I can't teach you all I know. I can tell you all I know in one day. Just be around. Give yourself to discipleship. Be taught. Be continually taught. Hear the words. That's how you're going to be blessed. That's how you're going to learn. So nowadays, I don't take people serious who just want, you know, like a 30 minutes being around thing. Oh, we just want to... So, the Spirit of the Lord said unto Philip, go. So Philip met him and he said, do you understand what you are reading? This God thing you are saying, do you really understand what you are saying? Do you really understand? Do you understand what you are reading? The NIV version says that, do you understand what you are reading? Exactly what I'm saying. The NIV version says, do you understand what you are reading? TPT, say. Do you understand what you are reading? Now, look at the TPT version, verse 31. Let's just flip one on that side. It's quite an interesting conversation. Do you understand this thing you are reading? Isaiah, you've read Isaiah. But do you understand? Do you know the why of what you are reading? Do you have the knowledge? Have you gotten, you know, the understanding, the reason why the prophet Isaiah wrote what he wrote? Do you understand? Have you come to a comprehension of what has been written? Now, the man in his own humility, in Acts 8:31, the man answered, how can I possibly make sense of this without somebody explaining it to me? That's a humble answer. Now, I don't think the writer of Acts records this just because he wants us to see that Philip was translated by an angel. Well, that could be the supernatural side of it. But there's a side not to despise, is that there is a process of someone teaching, and there is a process of somebody giving to teaching. And with this comes salvation. And similarly, with this comes spiritual growth. So he's saying that, how can I possibly make sense of this without someone explaining it to me? So he invited Philip onto his chariot to sit with him. Have you met people who said, the Holy Ghost revealed this to me in John chapter 3, and then you open John chapter 3, you read in context, the person is in the bush. And you have to actually save the person back from what the person thought the Holy Ghost was saying to the person. I've had people like that. The Holy Ghost revealed this revelation to me. Okay, let's see. When we open, we show you are in the bush somewhere. We have to save you from what the Holy Ghost is saying to you. You see, you need to understand this so that we can be fine and we can all grow. The Holy Ghost. We're not saying the Holy Ghost is not real. I am, you know, a friend of the Holy Ghost. But you must still be taught. My brother, you must still be taught. And my sister, you must still be taught. And tell your disciples they must be taught. So he's saying that, how can I understand? Except somebody should guide me. It means there's a guidance to the understanding of God's word. There's a guidance to the a-doing. Remember, Timothy was not just there and then it just came. He had already been guided. And so there was already a reminder of the guidance that he had already received from Paul. Plus the writings which were supplementary. So the supplementary is not the main, the right is not the main thing. The real training was him being around all the while Timothy was traveling. Yes. Verse 32, back to KJV. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. You see, when you read, he was led like a sheep to the slaughter. If you are not careful, you can get some very dangerous revelation from here. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And so Do not be led like a sheep to the slaughter, because slaughterings will bring about death in your life. But he's not talking about you. He's not talking about you. Where is it he was led? It's not you. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered and said, I pray thee, hey, who is this? Who is the prophet speaking about? The Ethiopian could just say, I think it's, he mentioned somebody's name there. But he was asking, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself. You see that? See that? It means there are confusions in unraveling this whole thing. He's not understanding. Of who is it? Of, is it of himself? But you see, a proud man will not say, I don't know, number one, so please help me understand. Number two, he will go on to say that the prophet is speaking of himself. That's what happened to Hymenaeus and Phygellus, according to Paul's writings. They were those who veered off, saying that the resurrection had already happened. The resurrection that we are all with. Like, oh, the resurrection has already happened. It's a revelation. It's a revelation. He says, their doctrine doth eat like canker. They are dangerous people. Because they will not sit down to be taught. He said, they will not sit down to be taught. So they just catch on something. They just jump on something. And they jump on, they veer off. And they start preaching dangerous revelations. So actually, Paul warned Timothy of such guys. So that's just by the way. So the Ethiopian eunuch is saying that, I pray thee, TPT verse 34, I pray thee, I ask thee, I make inquiries of thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Is he of himself? Please, can you tell me who the prophet is speaking of? He's asking questions. Is it himself? Is he another man? Is his father? Is his mother? I heard that it was his auntie. And Philip was saying, no, it was not his auntie. It was, let's pay attention. It was not his auntie. It's not his father. It's not even if himself. Hey, but it looks like he's speaking of himself. Oh, you don't think so? It's like, no, it's not of himself. Verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him. Now to preach is to persuasively, right? To herald, to announce. Preached unto him Jesus. Oh, verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Listen. Follow carefully. Did you see that he didn't even know Jesus Christ from verse 34? Are you following? You need to have your Bibles with this. Verse 34, he doesn't even know who Jesus is. He's asking that, who is this? he doesn't even know. But in verse 37, he's saying, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. What is the Son of God? You see, the writer in Acts chapter 8 just gives a very good commentary, or like, let me say, a summary of whatever it is that transpired. I believe they had lengthy conversations, maybe several hours. What we're seeing from verse 33 to 36 might be several hours, might be 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, sometimes even 8 hours. They were sitting right there in the chariot. They were explaining, expounding. There was a preaching, there was a teaching, there was an explanation. There were things that were being said. And don't forget, Acts was not present by then. So it means that all they had were the law and then the prophets. Right? And in fact, if Philip was, you know, directly under the disciples, it means that he learned from, he learned from Peter. Right? He learned from James, John, Bartholomew, and the disciples. Now, how did Jesus teach the disciples? Luke says he expounded to them all the scriptures, beginning from Genesis to Malachi. That's how Jesus taught. Jesus never taught like, oh, okay, that's the revelation. When Jesus is teaching you, he starts from Genesis, he explains through to Malachi. So what most probably, you know, was happening here was a long explanation of continuous teaching, because he's now saying something which I want you to pay attention to. In the text, he just says that, and as I believe. What is believe? What? Because you don't just get up and say, I believe. It means you have been taught on how to believe, what to believe. Jesus had been spoken about. What is the Son of God? Even when we ask people in church to explain Son of God, you see them, you know, beating themselves about what the Son of God is. But now, the same man who does not believe and who does not understand is now saying, I believe in Jesus Christ. And he is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. It means understanding had now come. Understanding had now come. So, when you see people saying that, I don't need to be taught. Edo, I don't need to get any knowledge from anything. I know how to go about it. Then you know they are getting in the ditch. So to know, you must be taught. Are you listening? You must be taught. Things need to be explained to you. Now, I think that's very close. Remember, don't forget, chapter 8, verse 27, an angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. So don't say that God is going to teach you how to know him yourself. I want to know God myself. I want to find God myself. I want to discover God myself. No man can teach me who God is myself. No man can show me the way of God. As for God, his ways are mysterious. So I'll wait for the mystery of his will. And I want to know God myself. No, that's not how God does it. Even if an angel appeared to you, he will not teach you God himself. Even if an angel appeared to you, he will not teach you God himself. He will bring a man to teach you God's word. That's not too far. Let's see quickly Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. We're going to look at a quick story of Cornelius and Peter. I'm going to read really quickly. I'll cut the whole story. Let's start reading from verse 17. Okay, so let's go to 10 verse 1 to 4. Then we'll skip. Chapter 10 verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called Italian Band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. Verse 3, he saw a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him, and saying unto him, Cornelius. So an angel of the Lord came to him and said, Cornelius. Listen, an angel again, oh, has come to him and he's saying, Cornelius. Verse 4, and when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Verse 5, and now send men to Joppa and called for one, Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodged with one, Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell him what thou oughtest to do. You see that? How thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the ground and pillar of the truth. The angel of God has appeared again to a man, a devout man called Cornelius. And he's saying that I am an angel of God. God has sent me to you to tell you to go and look for a man called Simon. And that man called Simon will tell thee what thou oughtest to do. So, Cornelius is now in search of a man called Peter, Simon, who will tell him what he oughtest to do. What he oughtest to do. Let's go quickly. Our time is almost gone. Verse 31. And said Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thy alms. Okay, let me show you one thing I've learned about teaching. It's not to rush it. So let's continue. And now, verse 5. Send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey, and drew nigh into the city, Peter went up the housetop to pray. Now, let me make it short. Peter has a vision where God is telling him to kill and eat. And he's saying those things to kill and eat are unworthy and are unclean. And God tells him he should not call things which he has called clean, whatever, unclean. Right? So they asked, the servants asked, where is Peter? And they told them that Peter was lodging at the top. So they went to Peter. And in verse 21, Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? So, in verse 25, Peter has left, right? He was coming into Cornelius' house, and Cornelius, you know, fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were there. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation, but God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or uncommon. Therefore come I unto you without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore for what intent ye have sent me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until the hour, and in the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, thy alms are had in remembrance in thy sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee immediately. Therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear. You see that? They are present to hear all the things that were commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word of God which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching, see that he began to preach. Why didn't the angel just say that, hey, Cornelius, your arms have come up to God as a sweet smelling. Yeah, just get saved. Get born again. I'm the angel Gabriel. I'm bringing them. No. There is a way. And we must accept how God wants it done. Right? So Peter is beginning to preach by the peace of Jesus Christ. Verse 7. That word I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. You see that he's preaching now. He's actually preaching. He's, proclaiming what is true. Verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all the things which he did, both in the land of Jews and in Jerusalem, which they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto the witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose up from the dead. And he commanded to us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets and witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remittance of sins. That's Peter is preaching. He's preaching. He's preaching the death. He's preaching the burial. He's preaching the resurrection of Jesus. The gospel is being preached. It's being taught, not by an angel. Your growth in Jesus Christ is going to be taught, not by an angel. Okay, why didn't an angel wake you up all the times to pray? Me, an angel has woke me up to pray before, but it's not every time. There are times I knew I should have prayed, I slept off. Yes, very few times have I received, like few times, maybe once in my whole life. Yes. So it's not natural. What is natural with God is that he says that we should be given to discipleship and we should make disciples. So the word eido is to know. And to know, you must be taught. Now, before we come to a closure of this session, let me take you through three scriptures, actually, and then we can pause here, and then we'll continue on tomorrow. Matthew 9, verse 6. We'll rush through the scriptures. Matthew 9, verse 6. Matthew 9, verse 6. But that ye may know that the Son of Man had power on earth to forgive sins. But that ye may know by the things that you see and discern. Actually, this was Jesus' ministry at Nazareth, and he was about performing a miracle where he tells a man to arise up and take his bed and go into the house, and he arose up and he departed into the house. But he was saying that so that these unbelieving people will know by virtue of what they see. Is the word Edo. Matthew 22:16. Matthew 22:16. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? So these were the Pharisees. They had heard him teach. So they knew that he was a teacher, but actually it was actually a snare to get him saying something. But actually they had known by what he taught. So we're going to know by what we are taught. We're going to know by what we are taught. Matthew 22:29. Matthew 22:29. So, let's read verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, "You do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." You are in error because you don't know. You have not been taught. Unbelieving Pharisees, you err because you don't know. And you will not give yourself to teaching. I'll know God by myself. No. When you find people tell you they will know God by themselves, you ought to explain to them. Right? Let's stick with God's method of having others explain and having others teach and having others follow up on and having others love and having others that we can rely on, having others that we can learn Christ from. So you do err because you do not know the scriptures, not the power of God. Remember, they were tempting him. I told you that when I told you that we know that thou art true, because they knew that from his teachings they were true, but they were trying to ensnare him by their funny questions. So they are asking whether it's lawful to give tribute unto Caesar. But let's read from 18 now to 39. But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money." And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, "Who's this image and superscription?" They said unto him, "Caesar's." Then said he unto them, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's." When they heard these, they were marveled, and they left him. The same day came him to the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, "Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother's wife shall marry his wife, and raise up his seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all the woman died also. Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her." So Jesus is now saying, you do err. You're in error. You're in confusion. What you have in your mind is wrong, because you don't know the scriptures. Then he now starts to teach. He says, "For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but as the angels of God in heaven." So you think that marriage is here and in heaven? You'll be married here and you'll be married in heaven. Yeah, I thought I've discussed this already in one of the teachings. Excuse me, I have a question, Pastor. You should listen to it. It's not. It's just for your enjoyment, companionship here. That's all. There's nothing. So just think that you are in error because you do not know. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your word this evening. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we're coming to that place of understanding why discipleship. In Jesus' name, amen.